DW.
I felt in that time that, okay, you know, this dream that you are gonna change the world and everything will be better when you write about something or to talk about something. But actually my first experience, which is I found in that my work is really important, that between 2008 and 2009, when I started to work my documentary program in Syria, it was called Syrian Tell. It was talking about religions and ethnics in Syria. And in that time, I just traveled around Syria for every village, every city, and to meet my people, which is a lot of people don't know anything about them. And I just give them like a platform to talk about themselves, about their tradition, mythology, you know, habits, everything, and introduce them to the other Syrians. And in the end, I have a conclusion that, okay, we are Syrians. Maybe we are originally Armenians or Turkmen or any other nationality, but we are Syrians. If I just watch a football game and between Syria and Armenia, for example, I will support Syria, not Armenia. Even I'm originally Armenian because I'm Syrian. So please accept me in this society and I'm a part of that. And after that, I thought that, okay, I can make a change from journalism.
So this was all before the war broke out in Syria. And, you know, you got this picture now of Syrian life, society, all the different groups before the war. What are some of the things that you want people to know about life in Syria during the war and how that's changed?
Actually, the things that I have learned from Syria, and I think that everyone should know that we don't have one Syria. We have Syrians. We have different communities living in that place, different backgrounds, different education levels, and also sometimes inside one family or inside one community. So you can't judge all Syrians as they are Syrians, because you have to know the difference between them. You know, you have to know how they think and their backgrounds, religious backgrounds sometimes, ethnic backgrounds, or even education backgrounds, and where they live, because you can't just deal with people from Damascus, just like people from Aleppo. And people from Aleppo, from the city center, you can't deal with them from people from the countryside. So it's totally different. And when they are dealing with the Syrian case, of course, you can't deal with it as a one package. You have to divide it to understand it. And this is the point one. And the other thing, that no one knows the truth in Syria. This is the thing. Okay. Because everyone has the right. We have a revolution. And in the same time, we have some people who take benefits. And some people wanted really to destroy Syria. Some people from out Syria want to take another benefit. So we have everything. We have everything happening from 2011 until now.
And how did that impact your daily life? Because you lived a lot of the time in Syria. You've only been here the past 2 years. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about sort of daily life in Damascus, where you were?
When you are a journalist working in a war, which is a civil war, which is your case, it's so much difficult, because some people, when they get tired of the daily details of war, they can stop watching news or reading news. But for me, I can't, because this is part of my daily life, that I just have to be involved in every detail happening in Syria. So that was one of the difficulties. Plus that I'm a human and I'm a normal person living in Damascus. I faced the same experience that all other Syrians facing it, that I was afraid of death. I did feel every moment in my life, it was the last moment in my life. Also, I was suffering from the lack of freedom there. I couldn't work, I couldn't do my work as I want, because I couldn't say a lot of things because I was living in the regime area. And just like that, staying in cold for 20 hours, for example, and just you don't have any warm place, only your car. I just go to my car and open the AC to be warm, because I don't have electricity. I don't have anything to be warm in minus 6 degrees or something. Mm-hmm. So this is the small details. No one knows about it. Or they think, okay, in Syria, what's happening there? People dying and explosions and that. But for people who are still alive, there is a lot of details that they are suffering from it every day. We didn't have a fuel, for example, to just their own ovens or sometimes to cook. We didn't have some for days water to have a bath. So it was so crazy that you see on the hairdresser a lot of women there, not because they want to make themselves beauty, just they want to wash their hairs. It's totally strange that when you see, okay, you have time to go to the hairdresser. Yeah, I have to wash my hair because I don't have water at home. A lot of details that I was feeling it when I came to Germany. And the first month when my battery is going to die, I was always going to plug it. And then I said, oh, I'm in Germany. I have electricity for 24 hours. I don't have to do that.
So what is that some of those things that stuck out to you coming to Germany and the ways, you know, you've noticed that you've changed?
A lot of things changed on two levels. One about this small details that I was talking about that, okay, now I know that when I'm hungry, I can go out and take a food from supermarket, and I have a guarantee that I'm gonna back home safe, not like in Syria. Another thing that okay, I know I when I'm okay outside it's cold, but when I get home I can be warm because there is a Heizung and I can just
Heizung. That's the heating.
I can just be warm. I can take a bath whenever I want, even in the middle of the night, but. So these small details in the first month I didn't get used to, but after a while, I start to forget how I was living there. Now, when I call my friends or my family there, I feel, okay, how you can do that? But when you will be there, you will just adjust yourself and you'll live normally with it. The other thing that I stopped, I just lost my fear. And that was one of the most important thing. I'm not afraid anymore here. When I came to here also, I became a so calm person. There I was always stressful. I was always shouting. I didn't have time to smile with people. If someone I didn't like him, I don't have time to just really showing another personality because I thought that I don't have time to do that. Here, no, I'm more diplomatic, if I can say. And also, I'm really calm. A lot of things happening. Nothing just may irritate me or makes me angry. Nothing at all. I can't remember since 2 years that I shouted for something. There, everything. Sometimes if I drop my coffee, that makes me cry and shout for hours, for example. So I think that's because of the stress of life itself.
You keep your key to your family home in Syria with you. Can you explain what that means?
In 2009, I was making a documentary about Palestinians living in Syria. And I just noticed a lot of families who are now 90 years old or maybe 100. I met a lady, she's 100, a woman, sorry. But she still has her key for her home in Palestine. And in that time, I was thinking, oh, they are really silly because they just lost everything. Why they keep the key? But when I came to here, because I came to here and I didn't want to stay, so I didn't bring anything valuable from Damascus with me, not precious for me. Not,
yeah, you didn't expect to stay, so you didn't bring anything sentimental. Yeah, you
exactly.
Just packed light.
Yeah. So, and in one time I was with a friend. She came recently from Egypt after Syria. And I saw that she is carrying a lot of stuff that I will never bag them if I want to travel, like a big paint or another champagne bottle. And she told me, this is a gift from my father and this is a gift from my uncle. And then I noticed that, okay, I don't have anything has a meaning to me with me here in Germany. And I lost all my memory. My memory is just on Facebook and on social media, and this is the only relation with home. I don't have anything, material thing that have a connection with home. So at that time, I was looking between my things and I found my key, my home key in Damascus. And I just put it with my keys, the key of my home in Berlin. And after that, I feel safe because now I have something still remind me that I have a relation there. And I just remember them. The woman in Syria, and I said, okay, now I can understand you, because this metal thing, small thing, can give you a lot of meanings and a feeling of safe in a very far away place.
Rama, thank you so much for joining me on WorldLink and sharing some of your story. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This report was brought to you by DW.